I know that some of you will very much like that Luke reading, even only because every time you listen to it, you get to play the game of how long will it be before the preacher says, I met a man going to St. Ives and he had seven wives and all that. Because I've done that myself, and everyone does that. I don't seem to be able to get away from it. But I wanted to look a little bit at the second part of that first reading from 1 Thessalonians. And I wanted to do it a bit differently, really, by way of using it to say a little bit about how far we've come the last little while, thinking together as churches about our vision as a group, and just to help you to get a sense of where we are. But to do that, I have to sort of pick up my piece of paper, which I've left over here. So quick recap, back in the summer, back in July, we had a day away with everyone from all of the PCCs, and we thought together about the ways that we felt that God might be leading us forward in the years to come. And we had a fantastic day with folks from all of the churches, and we looked together at a few priorities, and we looked a bit at the diocesan mission strategy, and we used that all to help us too. And then over the course of the next few months and a subsequent set of PCC meetings, we sort of tweaked things a little and had a little look at them a bit more. And then we did an evening in the autumn in September, which some of you came to, where we talked about how far we got. I know some of you here were with us, which is really kind and really generous of you. Finally, we arrived at a little table with something about community and something about discipleship and something about evangelism, and what we'll do as individuals, what we'll do as small groups, those of us who are part of those, we'll talk about those in a minute, and as congregations. And last half term, so just about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got together people from across the PCCs and one people for each of these groups. So we had a sort of community group and a discipleship group and an evangelism group, and we thought together with representatives of all the different PCCs in each of those groups about how we might take things forward from here. And so in the last notice sheet 2 weeks ago, hopefully you'll have seen a piece of paper if you were here, and if you haven't, it's on the website, that's got this on the one side and a little update on the other side, telling you how we've been getting on. And at the end of that little update, this side of things, and I have got some more at the back if you haven't got one yet, I've just encouraged you to pray for us and to go on praying for us. Because we know that in the Christian life and in life as a church, nothing really happens except by prayer. And so we do invite you to go on praying and to go on finding new ways to pray and to pray for lots of things, but please to pray for the life of the churches here. And it's been interesting as we've been talking as a whole set of PCCs, sort of 20 of us from across the group, about this struggle that we find to pray and to find ways to pray. And the small group that's thinking about discipleship, we talked a little bit about that, and we're glad that we've got some Sundays in January where we're going to be thinking about discipleship. And in the next little while, we'll be passing around a little just a questionnaire just to get a sense from you about how you find it to pray, how easy it is, or the things that help you or the things that don't, just so that we can all grow some more. And as I said, we'll spend some time in the new year thinking about that. In the next little while, in the run-up to Christmas, we're looking forward to lots of people coming and joining us at Christmas at all the different services who don't normally, and looking forward to doing another Alpha course in the new year off the back of all of that. And we'd love you especially to pray for that in advance of it happening. And again, in a couple of weeks, we'll have some things for you to use where you can really pray for those who'll come to church and come and be with us at the carol service on Christmas morning at the midnight service, and pray that they'll see something of Jesus as they meet with us in different ways. And of course, that might just happen as part of your conversations that you're having with people too, but we want to focus on that. It's a great opportunity to draw people in to the things that the church is doing. And prayer really is where to start all of that. And Paul is conscious of that. And so in 2 Thessalonians 2, what Jamie read for us at the beginning, he really begins with prayer. And he begins with prayers of thankfulness as well. It's a prayer of thankfulness is such a good thing for us to pray. I don't know how easy you find it to pray thankfully for things. I don't know what things you're most grateful for, what things you would most thank God for. I don't know if you find it easy to pray thankfully for everyone, as Paul seems to manage. I'm sure he had his run-ins with the Thessalonians, but he seems to manage to pray thankfully for everyone that he mentions in his different letters. And I want to encourage us, like him, to pray thankfully, and to pray thankfully for the things that Paul is thankful for. Paul's thankful for being loved by God and chosen by God and saved and sanctified by the Spirit of God and called by God. And this is really helpful because it reminds us in church life and in all of our lives how much is God's initiative and how much it is that God does. So we can think about all the things that are worrying us in life, and we can think about all the challenges that we might have in church, and they can become overwhelming, can't they, sometimes. But Paul emphasises the action of God most of all. And so when we think about discipleship, we don't need to see it so much as a struggle. It's just an opportunity, really, to cooperate and to participate with God in the things that he's doing already. And as we're here together now, one with another, God is at work. And as we meet, God works in us and God works through us. And the Holy Spirit transforms us. And Christ in us causes, you know, one another to grow and to be changed. As we see him in each other, so we grow to be more and more like him. That's why it's so good to be part of a regular congregation like this. It's so good to be part of a smaller group of people who are meeting and gathering. And we'll say more about that as the months go by as well, the value of meeting in a smaller group, because it's in those places, as we are together, you know, Christ in each of us and amongst us, that we grow more and more into his likeness, and our faith is deepened. Paul talks about the teaching that's been passed on to us. And of course, the much of the teaching that's been passed on to us, Paul and so many others, is in this extraordinary book that God has given us to hold on to the things that we've been taught by the sayings of Jesus, taught by the writings of Paul, or the stories or the prophecies of the Old Testament, the Psalms, whatever it might be. And most of all, of course, as we read this, we're taught by the Holy Spirit. We're taught by the Holy Spirit, who's inspired us. I want to be mischievous, I suppose, and look at this one now that I've picked off. I just picked it up off the pew. And I'm looking at the front cover and thinking, it's a bit dusty. and just to encourage you, if you have a little sort of dusty one at home, if you like, just to pick it up and just to ponder it. You know, I'm struck by the power of the words in this book as the Spirit speaks to us through it. You'll know perhaps that it's basically 500 years since the Reformation now. Reformation Day was in the papers and things earlier on in the week. It's 1517, one of the most amazing days in the history of Europe and of Christianity. The two most significant days in the whole of German history, 1517, when Martin Luther nailed the thesis, or supposedly nailed the 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. 1516, when the principal ingredients of beer were written down and codified for the first time. That was a joke. Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It takes hold of me. I was reminded of the lovely quote, again I heard it this week, that at the coronation, the moderator of the Church of Scotland gave the Queen a Bible, and he said to her, "We present you with this, the most valuable thing that the world affords." Think of what the Queen has, and this is what he put in her hands. This is the most valuable things that the world affords. And it's by God's word and so many other things, but so much by God's word that our discipleship deepens and we grow and we learn these teachings, as Paul writes, that have been handed down to us. And the handing down and the handing on and the passing on, of course, is one of the things that we call evangelism. It's a sort of word that makes us nervous, some of us, for lots of reasons. But really, it's a word about sharing our faith, and it's sharing what it means to be chosen and called and loved and saved. Peter says, always be prepared to give an account for the hope that is in you. Hope comes up in this passage as well, the sense that God has given us eternal encouragement and good hope. The business of passing it on is complicated for some of us because sometimes we might have been taught that evangelism is the job of an evangelist with a capital E. Or at least if it isn't the job of an evangelist with a capital E, it's the job of the vicar. That's what they do. They pass on the faith, and we sort of take it and we keep it, and then the next vicar in our generation will pass it on to the next one, and so on and so on. And I've got a really interesting article at the back. There's a few copies at the back, and I'll pop a link to it on the website as well, because I haven't got enough for everyone. And Justin Welby wrote, and it was actually back in 2015, but it's come up again this year, and it's got his top 10 tips for evangelism. And the second one, which we've mentioned already, is prayer. Pray. Always pray. Pray for opportunities. Pray that God would help you in it. But the first tip is, don't think it's something just for professionals. Don't think it's something that you can opt out of. He says that's the opposite of the pattern that you find in the scriptures. And then he says, his words, not mine, it's a nonsense. He says, strong words, isn't it? But that's what the Archbishop said. And again, enough to make us guilty or nervous, however you might put it. So let's just reflect that the moment of someone first realising that they're called or chosen or saved or loved or however you might describe it, that's all part of what happens when someone is doing evangelism. And all of that, we remember, is what God does. Pressure can feel like it's on us. Oh, I need to convert someone, you know. I need to talk to someone about Jesus. But it's what God does. It's what God does. And he invites us to join in. He invites us to come alongside those who are searching for him. Sometimes people know they're searching, sometimes they don't. And to help them along the way. You know, we all have this privilege of joining and helping things along. And in the churches here, we have a group, as I said, that's been thinking about evangelism. And we've been wondering about this because the other thing that we realised we found most difficult was the idea of sharing our faith. So on the one hand, we struggle to find time to pray ourselves and to read the scriptures and to read other things. And on the other hand, we struggle to share our faith. Part of me wonders now whether those two things might not be connected somehow. But what we're going to do is to provide some opportunities to think about sharing our faith. In the new year, there's some training elsewhere in Norwich that you go to, if you like, we can let you know about. But we're going to do a couple of sessions in the group here that we want to invite you to come along, a couple of evenings where we can think about it together. And then in February time, we're going to talk some more about this on Sunday mornings as well, the idea of sharing our faith in Christ. So first of all, in January, we're going to begin with prayer, because I've been saying, you know, that's where we always begin. But then following on from that, we're going to do a little bit more about sharing our faith together. And that article which I mentioned that I printed out at the back that the Archbishop had written. I've actually pulled that off a new website called The Great Commission, which is a website that the Evangelical Alliance have started, which has got loads and loads of fantastic resources about how to share your faith and ways to pray about it and loads of exciting stories about things that have happened when people have done it too. So there's masses to inspire you, and we'll keep reminding you of that. But most of all, I want to remind you, as we look at this sort of vision statement, and I look at it as the vicar, and I say to myself, God, it's a lot to achieve. You know, how are we going to do that? But of course, as I've said earlier on, a couple of times already, God does it. And that's where the reading ends today, actually, in 2 Thessalonians, with God who does it and who's done it. And it's the diocese have been reminding us, haven't we, that God can do more than all that we can ask or imagine. And sometimes we might ponder the possibility of our growing to know God deeper or better, or the thought of someone that we love and care about getting to know Jesus, and we might feel, well, there's no chance. There's no chance of that happening. You know, we can feel discouraged or hopeless, but Paul writes, God will give us yet more that we cannot find in ourselves. By his grace, he gives us eternal encouragement and good hope, and he encourages our hearts, and he strengthens us in every good deed and word. So for our churches to grow in those areas which we've identified, it'll take a lot of good deeds, and it'll take a lot of good words. But as we say them, and as we do them, God will encourage our hearts, and he'll strengthen us, because he's the God of good deeds and words. That book of his, this one, is full of them, as it's full of his son, Jesus, whose greatest deed, whose final word, if you like, whose death and resurrection are the source of all of our encouragement, the source of all our hope. So as we hope, may he in us and through us accomplish more than all that we can ask or imagine. Amen.